actor and advocate Patrick Dempsey. Millions of fans around the world know Patrick Dempsey as a television and movie star, the kind of celebrity who makes the cover of magazines. But here in Maine, you might see Patrick Dempsey in person at the grocery store or on the ski slopes. Dempsey is a native son who still spends time in Maine, and his biggest commitment here is the center that bears his family's name. The Dempsey Center provides free services to cancer patients and their loved ones and has recently expanded, partnering with more organizations around the state. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Patrick Dempsey joins us in the studio today with the executive director of the Dempsey Center. We'll ask him about his mom, his commitment to cancer care, his current projects, car racing, and more. What do you want to ask Patrick Dempsey? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Chances are you've heard of Patrick Dempsey, not only because of his career in television and film, but also because here in Maine, he is well known for founding the Dempsey Center along with his sisters. Today, we'll learn about his latest work with the Cancer Support Center and his ongoing ties to Maine. And we'll hear what else he's doing. Patrick Dempsey is here with me in the studio, really, along with Wendy Tardiff, who is executive director of the Dempsey Center. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you or someone you know been helped by the Dempsey Center? Have you ever been part of the Dempsey Challenge? What about any fun stories to share about Patrick Dempsey when he was growing up in Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. You can also comment today on Instagram at Maine Calling. Patrick and Wendy, welcome. Welcome back, Wendy, and welcome, Patrick. I just think I want to start by asking you about your mom. You founded the Dempsey Center in honor of her. Tell us about her.
Absolutely, and thank you for having us on today. I'm a big fan of public radio, and to be here and to see you in person, I've listened to you, but to be here, thank you very much for that. Yeah, my mother was a remarkable woman in so many ways. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in '97, and fought it for 17 years. There were 12 reoccurrences in that period of time, and it was a profound impact on our family. And thank goodness for my sister, Mary, who was a co-founder in the Dempsey Centers. She worked at the hospital at Central Maine Medical, where my mother was being treated, and she really helped us navigate that process. And when you get that information, you feel so helpless. And what can you do to support the loved one who's been diagnosed? And thank God for my sister understanding how to navigate the hospital and the doctors and being able to interpret what it is that they were saying. At that point, it was like, you know, what are other families doing? You know, how are they managing this? And that's how it kind of got started. And I did an endorsement deal with Amgen for the Tour de California, which was a cycling event. And there was the Breakaway from Cancer Initiative that was part of that. And that's really opened my eyes to wellness center supportive therapy.
So that's where you got the idea for a wellness center supported therapy.
Yes. And it was a way to give back and to help support my mother. It was something that you want to feel empowered. You want to be, and that was something that I could contribute. And certainly at that point, it was really at the height of all of the heat of Grey's Anatomy, and to be able to parlay that visibility to do something positive in Maine, and certainly in the community I grew up in, was a real eye-opener for me. And it was nice to be able to contribute.
Here we are. You founded the center in 2008. It's 2019. How has what you envisioned back then changed, morphed, grown as we sit here in 2019, preparing for another Dempsey Challenge? Could you have imagined it to be where it is? And where do you want it to go? How's that for a big question?
That's a five-parter. I'll say that. Well, we started in a room this size. It was a tiny little room that we had at Central Maine Medical. Peter Chalk, who was then running the hospital, was very supportive and gave us a little bit of space, and it continued to grow, and we kept asking for more space. And then finally we have now the whole top floor and one of the buildings, an old restored mill, we have a long way to go, and we've done a lot in the last 11 years, and it's been a remarkable journey. So, wow, that was a big question, so I have to break it down a little bit, I think, to answer it. But our goal is to reach everyone who is diagnosed in Maine. There are about 8,000 people every year newly diagnosed, and we want to be able to reach them. We're reaching about 2,500 people now, and that's our goal, to expand in a sustainable way to do that.
All right, Wendy, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, as Patrick's talking about, when the Dempsey Center was founded, it was in Lewiston only, but now also in South Portland, and then also partnering with other organizations, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So July of 2018, we merged with the Cancer Community Center in South Portland. So now we have two Dempsey Centers, two locations, South Portland and Lewiston. Through the Maine Cancer Foundation, several cancer support centers and other organizations that are really supporting cancer patients came together to establish the Association of Maine Cancer Support Centers. The Association of Maine Cancer Support Centers. It's a mouthful. And we actually just started. We've been meeting since February. We're developing a work plan right now. But really, our goal with the association is to really work together and collaborate so that we can provide really quality services and programs to people throughout Maine. And when I say we, I mean all of the association members. And then also to be able to expand some of the things that one organization might be doing that's different than others in order to get that kind of work spread out around the state so more people can take advantage of it and benefit from our services and programs.
All right. Well, I don't usually go to comments so early in the program, but I want to go to one, if I can find it here in front of me, that came in. And it's from somebody who was served by the center. And she talks about how nice it was to meet you, Patrick. Here it is. It's from Reverend Erica Hewitt. This came out on Instagram. The Dempsey Center is a gift to Mainers. I spent many, many hours there during my 10-month treatment for breast cancer, and their staff and free program and services helped me get through it all. One night, Patrick was there. He was incredibly kind and thoughtful in our brief conversation. I'm glad I got to thank him in person. Thanks again, Patrick Dempsey. You'll never know how much good you've created for so many people. So, you know, Patrick, you don't have some sort of tangential connection to the Dempsey Center. You're not out there in Hollywood just, you know, putting your name on it. It's more than that to you.
Oh, absolutely. I think there was the big turning point for me was, you know, initially we were really involved because of my mother. And then when we lost her, it was really a difficult moment for us as a family because we had to address what we wanted to do in our involvement. Because every time you would go back and it was a reminder that she wasn't there and you would see images of my mother and things like that. And I stepped back for a little bit to think about it. And then I was like, you know what? I am committing to this full time starting in 2015, actually. My mother passed away in 14 and I made a decision to get back. I try to get back for once a month for a week to understand what's going on. And I've learned a lot by going there and to come in contact with the clients who come through the door. I learned so much in those encounters.
That is a commitment.
Absolutely. I'm fully committed to this.
That's a exhausting airplane flight.
Going back in the winter, the headwinds are a little rough getting back to California. It sometimes can be a 7-hour flight, you know, but it's worth it. I love being in Maine. I'm from Maine. I always feel at home here. And to be able to do something that's positive, and the team that we have in place from the staff and the volunteers and the community and even the local businesses, it's remarkable when you get together as a group and you do something for the benefit of the other person. So the altruistic approach to it is something that is very enjoyable and easy to do, and I love it. And you're seeing the impact that you're making in someone's life almost immediately.
Later this month is your biggest fundraiser, the Dempsey Challenge. And I have to confess, I have never entered because I thought it was kind of intimidating. Even though I ride a bike, I'm not very good. I've just started.
But that's okay.
With a road bike, but I hear that's okay.
Right. You know, we call it the Dempsey Challenge. It's not a bike race. It's an event to really celebrate life. And it's a, how do you challenge yourself, you know, to do something you've never done before in a physical way? We wanted to get people active because a lot of the prevention is staying healthy. And you feel better when you exercise. And we didn't want to do something that was just a banquet sitting around a table. And certainly through, you know, our title sponsor, Amgen, and the Amgen Tour de California, it's like, let's combine this. Let's get a bike event. And my mother liked walking, so let's do a walk event. And some people like to run, so let's combine all that and get people active in doing it. But it's not a competition. It's a celebration of life.
It's not even timed.
It's not timed.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and it's really, it's to have a good time, get out and enjoy the countryside of Maine in the fall. There's nothing better. And at the same time, we raise money to be able to provide the services so that there are no costs to the person coming through the door.
We have a goal of $1.5 million this year to raise. So we're very excited about that. Two weeks. There's still time to sign up. Jennifer, you could join us.
Come and roll. You can do 10 miles.
Okay.
Miles.
I'll get your about bike, it. Too. Okay. I have a bike. I bought a bike a couple years ago.
And you can just walk, too.
I like that. I want to change the subject just a little. You mentioned you grew up in Maine. Patrick Dempsey, what were you like as a kid?
I think I was a lot like Ronald Miller in Can't Buy Me Love. Very nerdy little guy. I was late to develop. My nickname was Amoeba in high school.
Amoeba?
I know. I don't know. This was... I grew up in Turner, and then we moved to Buckfield, Maine, junior. Oh, no, it was when I was seventh grade, so junior high school. And I was always a late bloomer and loved being outside, ski racing, sports, things like that.
I heard you were a very good ski racer.
I did win the state of Maine championship in slalom.
Is there a connection between the ski racing and the car racing?
Absolutely. I always felt most at home. Yeah, I like speed, and I certainly like competition and racing. And the skiing and the car racing, a lot of similarities to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the speed. I love it. And also, too, I like the camaraderie and the fellowship in the sport. And it brought me back to that time in my life that I had gone away from. I didn't start racing until my mid to late 30s and then raced through my 40s. So it was nice to kind of go back and rediscover that part of myself.
Yeah. You don't race professionally right now, correct?
No, I still have a team. I'm still involved with Porsche, and I do some training and things like that. I'm going to get back into it to do some cup racing. But I had 1 year where I could race full time in the WEC, which is the World Endurance Championship. Got to travel the world racing. And I set out with some goals in mind, and I achieved those goals. And once I did, I had to really assess, okay, this is a tremendous sacrifice to my family. Is it worth it or not? And I realized that I had done what I wanted to do. I achieved my goals, and it was time to move on and go back and be with my family, and also to come back here to Maine and really focus on the growth and sustainability of what we're doing at the center.
Well, when you walked into the studio today, when you walked into the office, our producer Cindy Hahn captured a video of you doing one of your many skills, and I understand, and that is juggling. We have a video on our Facebook page. If it loaded, Cindy, did it load? Oh, excellent. And I understand that this was what you did, and when you were a young teenager, is you did birthday parties.
I did birthday parties. I did local events in small villages. Benny Reel from Buckfield Leather and Lather, Randy Judkins, Judd the Jester, all these guys were my mentors as a kid. And that's how I made money on the weekends as a teenager. And it liberated me. It got me out of the state of Maine by I did this Maine talent. What was it? It was like, I forget the name of the, it was like a talent pageant locally. I won here in Portland. And then I went to New York and won that and got an agent. And it sort of... That's how
so the juggling was your launch into acting.
Yes, it got me into acting. Well, actually, the ski racing was through Inmar Stenmark, who was the skier at the time that was on the World Cup, who was just dominating. And there was an up close and personal special on him on ABC for the Olympics, and he was riding the unicycle. And I figured, okay, this is how I'm going to become an Olympic champion. So this will date me. I ordered my unicycle from the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Oh, we remember that.
That does date me. And it came in, and I started riding the unicycle. And the shop teacher at Buckfield High School, Paul McKinney, the power had gone out, and he didn't know what to do with us. And he started juggling. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating, because people just love juggling. There's something magical about it. And he he taught me how to juggle. And that was one of those moments that changed my life forever.
Well, I have to say, I watched one of your movies last night, Bridget Jones' Baby, and you juggle in there.
Yes.
I thought, I just learned that Patrick Dempsey's a juggler, and there it is. Has it shown up in other films as well?
Yes, people love juggling, and the director of, all directors want you to do something like that.
Really?
Yeah, so I have to be careful because every movie they want me to juggle in, I'm like, I can't be juggling in every movie. But
oh, that's funny. Yes. We are talking with Patrick Dempsey. Yes, it's true. The phone number is 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Two films this year, both though not with you in front of the camera, behind in producing roles. Let's talk about the film that's in the movies right now, The Art of Racing in the Rain. I understand it took you 10 years to get this film made.
Yes, it did. It usually takes about 10 years to get a project.
Oh, that's not unusual.
That's not unusual in Hollywood to get a project made. I was presented the book before it was published by my agent, and I was really intrigued by it, the storytelling, and also it had a little bit to do with racing, but also what is the meaning of life? And that's when I acquired the book, and it's called The Art of Racing in the Rain. The author is Garth Stein, and it's told from the point of view of the dog, about a journeyman driver, a race car driver, and trials and tribulations of his life. And also it talks about the impact of cancer in one's family and how that mm-hmm. changes everything. And It took 10 years to make. Milo Ventimiglia is the star in it. Kevin Costner is the voice of Enzo the dog. And it was nice to get closure on that, to finally get it made and get it out into the theater and see the response from the audience.
Also a documentary film.
Yes, a documentary about Hurley Haywood in his personal journey, a champion race car driver who comes out and talks about his sexuality in the film. And Derek Dodge, who is actually a Maine boy who grew up here, is the director. I met him at Le Mans in 2014, and he was intrigued by Hurley's story, and he asked if he would, if I could help him realize this documentary, and that's where it began. So that took us a number of years to get that done, and that's now out on iTunes. You can download that, and it's a really beautiful story.
Are you working on any other projects as a producer right now?
Yes, several things in development. I just finished a film in Rome. It's a mini series called Devils. It's a financial thriller that I star in.
Oh, you star in?
It's an international
case. Oh, wait, you just had to spend a bunch of time in Rome starring in a financial thriller?
Yeah, they said there's a project in Rome. And I'm like, fine, I didn't, no. It was a great opportunity to work over there.
How do you choose what projects to accept, especially in front of the camera?
You want to do something that's challenging. It's a character that you haven't done before. Who's involved? What's the story? Who's the director? Where does it shoot? Those type of things. And you know, when you read it, you're like, this is the night. This is the project I want to do next. And also, too, coming out of a long-running show like Grey's Anatomy has on for almost 11 years, it was time to try something new and to challenge myself.
Are you a bad guy?
Well, yes. I guess you would call him a bad guy.
That must be fun.
It's great fun to play someone it's a much darker character. And it's an interesting world about the financial world from the European perspective.
Did you say the title? Does it have a title?
Devils.
Devils. Devils. Okay. We are talking with Patrick Dempsey. We do have to take a break. Looking forward to your questions for him. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Now You're Cooking, a Midcoast Maine cookware store offering kitchen tools, bakeware, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week. Ocean View at Falmouth, an active retirement living campus, proudly supporting Saturday Afternoon Opera. OceanviewRC.com. And Greasy Theater's Women of the World on October 13th, a celebration of diversity and the power of music. GracieTheater.com.
The Democratic candidates on the debate stage in Houston, and our roundtable breaking it down for you. Will it reshape the battle for the nomination? Also, how Nevada and New Hampshire are sizing up the 2020 candidates. That's next time on The Takeaway is Politics with Amy Walter from WNYC and PRI.
You can hear that this evening at 7 here on Maine Public Radio. A note to those of you perhaps a bit curious about Maine Public, the Brunswick Downtown Association's speaker series will host Maine Public President Mark Vogelzang on Thursday, September 19th. Mark will cover a host of topics centered around the theme of Maine Public, from Mr. Rogers to Maine Calling, who's listening and watching. If you'd like more information and to reserve tickets, please visit brunswickdowntown.org. Again, that's brunswickdowntown.org, and the talk is on Thursday, September 19th.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, actor and Dempsey Center founder Patrick Dempsey is here with us, and so is Wendy Tardif, who is the executive director of the Dempsey Center. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet or post to Instagram @MaineCalling. Or post to our Facebook page. On the line with us now is Jill Kramp from Poland. Jill, what is your connection to the Dempsey Center?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I just really wanted to join in and express my gratitude and say thank you to Patrick for doing what he does and for developing this awesome center and for his time and commitment and dedication to the Dempsey Center. We have been blessed as a family with it. My dad was diagnosed about 2 years ago with malignant melanoma, and I feel like the Dempsey Center has allowed him to live. You hear a lot of negative words around cancer, like battle and struggle and fight, and I feel like the Dempsey Center has allowed him to live with cancer and create better quality of life for people that are living with cancer. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, that's great. What we're trying to do is, you know, a lot of people have to understand that we don't treat the disease, we treat the person. And how can we make their life better while they're being impacted by cancer? And thank you for that.
Yeah. Jill, thank you for taking the time to call in. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go to Ludmila, who's calling in from Limerick. Hi, Ludmila. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Jennifer and Wendy. Thank you, Patrick. I am an oncology nurse, and I got into oncology nursing because I had cancer as a young 20-year-old, and it's become my life passion and, you know, such an honor and privilege. And I've had many times my heart broken and have fallen in love with patients who passed on. And, you know, I feel so strongly that it's just beautiful that you get involved on a personal level, because we do get donations. I work at Dana-Farber. There's so many people that give money, and yet so very few are connected to the day-to-day work. And this connection with the patients and their families is really what brings us, you know, the most incredible rewards. So, just a comment, and I loved you on the show, even though nursing wasn't well represented on it, but that's in the past. So,
yes, and I have to thank you. Oncology nurses are amazing, because my contact with them, we could get information from them. They're on the front lines when you're in the hospital and your loved one is recovering. It's the nurses who know what's going on. They know what the dynamic is with the doctors. They know the truth, and they're there for you, and they're emotionally engaged. So thank you for the work that you do, because I know when we were going through this, we got so much information and support from the oncology nurses that it's really amazing. They do such phenomenal work and invest so much emotionally. I'm sure it takes its toll when you lose the patients that are close to you, because you invest so much emotion into them, and the patients feel that, the families feel that, and thank you for that. And, you know, that's what drives us. I think we learned a lot through that experience, through what it is that you do as a profession and the nurses. And there's also programs that we want to adopt to help the doctors and to help the nurses recover, because it's highly touch and a lot of emotional investment that needs. And that's what the patients want. That's what the families want and need, is that to have that understanding, that empathy and that sensitivity. And that comes at a cost. And not all of these stories end with a happy ending, unfortunately. And you have to go back and restore yourself and get some perspective. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Ludmila, for taking the time to call in. We're going to move on now to Aurora, Maine, and Janet Vachon. Hi, Janet. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Janet Vachon, and This is my second experience with cancer. This time it's metastasized breast cancer. And I rely very much on complementary medicine, which would not be available to me if it wasn't for our local cancer resource center, the Bessie Wright Center.
Yes.
I mean, they have hooked me up with to help me get access to grants, and they offer reflexology and Reiki, massage, support groups, meals, and everything. And even if one chooses to go solely on pharmaceutical medicine, there's still side effects from the word cancer. Anxiety, you know, depression, sadness. I mean, it wears you down mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And I should have been dead 5 years ago, and I rely mostly on acupuncture. And like I said, if it wasn't for the Bessie Wright Cancer Center, I wouldn't have access to all this programs and grants and everything. I mean, thank goodness for them.
Janet, thank you so much for calling in. Is this one of the partners?
Yes, they are. And we've been up there. It's a great facility.
Yeah,
they do great work. And what a wonderful story. Absolutely. And it just shows you how important this is. It should go hand in hand. And I'll let you continue on with this, Wendy. But this is what drives us, and certainly me personally, is because thank you for sharing that, because this is needed. You know, the support, I don't think people quite understand. Yes, there's so much that has been happening with, you know, the medical side of it. And what we're doing is more of a holistic side. And it needs to go hand in hand as soon as someone is diagnosed. How do you help them on an emotional level and support them that way? Wendy, you can address the association and why we have the association.
Right. And the other thing I'd just like to share is that, you know, the emotional support is so important. And one of the things I think Janet was just alluding to is the fact that there are a lot of side effects from traditional treatment, medical treatment, which is, again, very important, right? So the complementary therapies like acupuncture and massage can really help with those side effects from the treatment, like neuropathy and pain and insomnia and things like that, nausea. And then so through the association, we're trying to what we really want to do is increase awareness around the different support centers that are out there in Maine, what we do, how we do it, and how people can access us, which is pretty simple, actually. And then we also within our members, for each of us to understand what each other is doing, and then trying to take the best of that and try to expand it in Maine, so that more people are able to use the services that are more impactful for them at that moment in time when they need it the most.
And these type of services are not reimbursed by the insurance company, which is why what we're doing is providing these services at no cost. And you see the benefit of this. So we need to work on the legislation to see help that. And also, if there are any acupuncturists that are out there that could come and help us out, we could use it to expand that program, because we are seeing that the results are really positive for the people coming through and doing that.
Do you ever have a hard time reaching the people who you would like to come in? Maybe people who know about you, but are afraid, are too private to reach out and ask for help.
There was a great encounter with a woman who came in. Her husband was being treated at Central Maine Medical, and she came in to take a look. And I happened to be there that day, and we had walked around and started talking. And she was really, I think, surprised by it. But she was having a hard time getting her husband in the door. And I asked her, why doesn't he want to come in? And in many ways, it's very hard for them to take that first step, because it really admits to them on a deep level that they have cancer. And a lot of it is, and I know this from my own experience with my mother, you're living in a little bit of denial. And when you take a step like that, it makes you look at the realities of what's going on. And that's our challenge, is to get people to take that first step, to get into the elevator or go through the doorway. And then they realize that they're okay, they're safe, that they're protected, and we're going to do everything we can to make them feel better. And that's our challenge, is getting the word out there and letting them know what it is that we're doing.
Janet, thank you so much for calling in and sharing Question on a whole nother topic. Beth on Facebook wants to know, Patrick, what are some of your favorite places to spend time in Maine's outdoors?
Just being outdoors in Maine to me is just so special. I grew up in the woods in the countryside, it to me that it has so many healing properties. And it changed the seasons. Everything changes. And life is about change and adapting. And I think you learn a lot by just observing nature. And to me, that's what's so special about this wonderful state.
We'll go to Colleen, who's calling from Bath. Hi, Colleen. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you because I've been very teary listening to this interview in such a happy way, though, because it reminds me of... It reminds me of the first year when I got diagnosed, which was about a year ago. And my husband and I used every one of the services at Dempsey. Like, it was so happy because we were so disconnected prior to that. And then we got to go to the cooking classes and we got to go to all of the alternative stuff. We got to go to the Reiki. And it was such a bonding, lovely, and beautiful experience. And I really appreciate Patrick for coming a week, a month, and extending this all over the country because I have a doctor in Mass General. I have a doctor that's at in Topsom, and I have a doctor that's at Tufts. And I tell people in Massachusetts about this beautiful center and all the services. And what's so sweet about it is they say, are you kidding? It's free. And I said, well, it's only free because they do this fundraiser. And so last year I wasn't doing particularly well. So I went on the lap, the survivor lap, in the cart. And this year I'm doing real, and I'm doing the 5K for the first time ever.
Yay.
So I just want to say thank you to Patrick. And I think it's incredible what you've done. And I heard this interview on 10% Happier that you did, and I was so impressed with all of your future plans to expand the services to different people in the country. And I've already called my doctor, nieces, and nephew in Omaha, and I said, see if Patrick will come to Omaha, because they need it in Omaha, too. Anyway, I just called to say thank you, and it's been such a beautiful experience for us.
Oh, thank you very much for sharing that with us and opening us. We're all in tears here. And like you say, it's very positive. It's good to cry every now and then and to release the emotion. And thank you for sharing that. And you see, that's the goal. It's really, we want to be able to reach as many people as possible. And to do the challenge, it allows us to raise the money. And if you're listening and if you want to contribute, anything that you offer us makes a big difference. Or if you have a talent like acupuncture and you can bring that to the center, we'd be greatly appreciative of that.
Colleen, thank you so much for calling in to Maine Calling today. A tweet, Patrick comes across in this interview as very thoughtful and mindful. Does he have a meditation practice?
Absolutely. I think mindfulness is very important now more than ever. And certainly when you wake up and you listen to the news or you see the images of what's happening in the world, you have to get some perspective, you have to get centered, and you have to meditate or breathe, and however one does that. But I was very disconnected yesterday and wasn't clear on what was going on, and I needed to sit down and to meditate. And I went out and I sat by the pond and just sort of watched nature for a moment, and I think that's what helps connect you. And then you allow the emotions to come up, the fear to come up, and then you sort of navigate through the negative voices and the positive voices, and you go, okay, now I have some perspective on what I need to do, and you get centered. And sometimes you do that. I think that's the great thing about the bike, is the bike allows me to keep moving to get that anxiety, that extra energy that I have out to kind of calm down. But those are the type of things I do. And just remembering to breathe, and if I concentrate on the breathing, that kind of helps center me. And that's simple things like that. And these are the things that we teach at the center.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that and Mary Doyle and the work that she's been doing and then what we want to continue to do?
Yeah. So we do several different meditative kinds of classes. Probably one of our most popular classes in South Portland is meditative hypnosis. But a lot of our classes they incorporate meditation into them. So we do Tai Chi, Qigong, Our yoga classes incorporates meditation within that program too. We also do mindfulness-based stress reduction. There we go. MBSR, that's a pretty popular form of meditation education, really, a long, pretty extended program to really teach people how to be meditative in their own life and incorporate that practice. So it's a really important part of healing.
An email from Cynthia. This is related to something you said before, Patrick. Were you part of the Buckfield Leather and Lather show? I seem to remember a very handsome young man in that show when they performed at the main festival of arts on the Bowdoin campus. Was this you?
It was. That's so funny. I remember when the main festival happened at the Bowdoin campus, and I got to perform with Buckfield Leather and Lather. I was sort of apprenticing under Denise and Benny Real. They were my
How
first.
How old do you think you were at that point?
Oh, I think I started around 13, 14, maybe 15.
Oh my gosh, yeah. What a fun question. We do have to take another quick break. We're speaking with Patrick Dempsey and Wendy Tardif. When we come back, more of your comments and questions.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Maine Farmland Trust, inviting you to Growing Together, a 20th anniversary celebration, October 3rd at Broadturn Farm in Scarborough. More at mainfarmlandtrust.org. And Friends of Acadia, members and volunteers preserving the splendor of Acadia National Park for current and future generations. Friendsofacadia.org.
The man known as Dr. Seuss grew up in New England, drawing inspiration from the local zoo and his German roots.
So it was very influential in sort of shaping, you know, the artist he would later become.
On Next from the New England News Collaborative, tall tales from Springfield's famous son, and how another famous family shaped the climate debate.
Man-made emissions have a part to play in climate change. Yes, fact, done. Let's move on.
Please join us.
That's coming up this afternoon at 2 here on Maine Public Radio. More than 170 news outlets from around the world, including both NPR and Maine Public News, are taking part in Covering Climate Now, leading up to the United Nations Climate Action Summit in New York on September 23rd. Participating organizations will report on climate news and issues and provide useful background information throughout the week, more than usual, starting next week. Here on Maine Public, you'll hear the reporting on Morning Edition, Here and Now, All Things Considered, and a Maine Calling program on Friday looking at sea level rise. More information is at mainepublic.org/climatenow.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Patrick Dempsey is here in the studio. He is joined by Wendy Tardif of the Dempsey Center. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We have a quick note from Bronwyn. Thank you, Patrick, for all you are doing for folks with cancer. Lovely soul you are. And a note from our producer that we are just getting lots of notes of thanks for Patrick and the Dempsey Center for all that they do. Wendy, if someone's listening to this program and they're thinking, I have a family member, I know somebody who could benefit from these services, how do I come? How do I get them involved?
Yeah, it's very easy, Jennifer. There's no referral needed. People can walk through the doors, or even better yet, just give us a call and make an appointment, and they'd be able to sit down with our cancer resource specialists who can tell them a lot more about what we're doing at the Dempsey Center and help them figure out where they might want to start. A friend can call, a family member. It doesn't have to be the person that has the cancer.
Okay, we'll go to Jody, who's calling from Brooksville. Hi, Jody, go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Patrick, for all of the help that you're affording people in Maine. I want to talk a little bit about the environmental causes of cancer, which we know are very much with us in Maine. The cancer rates are high here. Pesticides in particular are known, certain of them, to cause cancer, and there are plasticizers in consumer products that cause endocrine disruption, which again is a cancer link. There are people like Sandra Steingraber, just to mention one example of someone who uses anger to motivate people. She herself is a cancer survivor who has written very, very beautifully about the need to address the problems in the environment. And so I wonder how much you would possibly think about partnering with groups like Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Environmental Health Strategy Center. There's a group in California. Okay. I believe it's called Breast Cancer Action.
Okay, Jody, thanks for your question.
Yeah, there's a great documentary out called The True Cost, which is about fast fashion, and that gets into the environment and what's been put on the crops for cotton and the side effects and how it's affected the farmers. And it is something that we talk about. It is something that we're trying to target what regions in the state of Maine are environmental, which are a lot. And anytime we can work and be in collaborative efforts with other associations and things that we are doing that to reach out.
And we also offer a lot of educational programs at both Dempsey Centers. And we work with the Environmental Work Group, and they'll bring their programs into the Dempsey Center to help educate people about environmental hazards.
And we're also, what's come to our attention recently is the firemen in this state, mm-hmm. and firemen in general, mm. are exposed. And there's a real lack of awareness of what it is, that's how deep it is affecting them, that the firefighters are coming down with cancer. And it's because it's
the
related.
Chemicals, the smoke, and the stress.
Exactly. All of those things. And
even the gear through the years. Yeah.
Right. So there's a whole need there in that community that we want to develop as well.
Well, Jody, thanks for your call. We'll move to Biz calling from Freeport. Hi, Biz.
Hi, Jennifer. I first of all want to say thank you for this program. Thank you, Patrick, for all you do, and for Wendy. I can get emotional about just the impact you've had in our lives. My sister Nina lost her husband to cancer, and she is the brave, heroic, and incredibly energized leader of the Orange Dragons yeah. Against Cancer team.
We love
yeah,
them.
They're amazing.
Well, Patrick, we've got to see you a number of times at the Dempsey Challenge, and most importantly, I would really like to officially invite Jennifer to be on our team, and you will not regret it, Jennifer. We have a great time. It's amazing how the
it's so much fun too. I love it, guys. And you're so identifiable, too. It's like the images are beautiful.
Well, Biz, thank you so much for calling in today. And I hope to see you dog walking soon. Thanks for the call. We're going to go
I guess that
to,
means no.
Yeah. Well, it means maybe. I think I might have a conflict, but this is not about me. This is about Patrick Dempsey being in the studio. Let's see. We're going to go to Patty in Camden. Hi, Patty. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the show. I just have a quick question. I think you might have answered it already. I have a family member diagnosed with cancer. However, then he had a heart attack. And so his treatment is on hold. So I wonder if there's anything there for people who are not yet in treatment but are in the on hold for treatment.
Oh, absolutely. We provide services to cancer patients, cancer survivors, caregivers, families, youth, you name it. And absolutely come and see us at the Dempsey Center. We'd love to talk with you about how we might be able to make life better.
There you go, Patty. Thanks for your call. We're going to go to Margie in Jonesboro. Hi, Margie. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say my cousin is in California, but he had brain cancer and 3 years ago. And he had two surgeries. The third time, they said it was just chemo in there. And now they just said he's got another lump inside on the right side of his head. And do you think I should bring him to Maine to help him or what?
He's currently living in California?
Huh? He's in California now, yeah.
You have there's some nice support centers in California. Mm-hmm. Give us a call at the Dempsey Center, and we can help you figure out if there's one near where your brother lives or not.
And that's one of the other things that we're working on is a network across the country of other like-minded centers, the type of work that we do, so that if you have a loved one or someone who is living somewhere else in the country, we're working on a network so that we can help support them no matter where they are, to identify these centers in the area that where they're living, giving them a heads up and really developing that network.
Margie, nice to hear your voice. Thanks for calling in. We'll go to Christopher calling from Norway. Hi, Christopher. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing? Patrick and Wendy, you might recognize my voice, but I just wanted to say thank you for all you've done for my wife. We've used your services. We've been there to support you, and we will continue to support you. But one thing I wanted to mention is that, yes, I'm a physician. I have the ability to heal. But Patrick, there's something that you have that you have to be aware of, is that when people come and talk to you, you do a selfie with them, you do a little autograph, and you talk to them, they forget everything bad that has gone on in their life, their cancer, you know, they lost their home, you know, terrible things can happen. But that moment you spend with them, they forget all of that. And that is such a healing, strong healing power that you have, that if we could just bottle that, it would be awesome.
Oh.
And go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
All right.
Thank you.
The great Bernie Siegel, he is a cancer surgeon out of Connecticut, wrote the book of Love, Innocence, and Miracles, talked about a lecturer that came out with a book. He spoke a few words from Lady Chatterley's Lover and said, if I can stimulate everybody's reproductive system in this audience, why can't we say a few words to help the immune system, to the healing process? And that's one thing the Dempsey Center does offer to people that I don't think they realize that they are doing for your visitors and your guests.
That's wonderful, you. Chris. Thank you so much for calling.
We have an amazing staff of people in the volunteers whose hearts are wide open and are present. As much as I am, they are more so in the work that they do, and they engage and they're there and they're present. And it's nice to hear that from you. And I'll tell you, moving forward, I will think of those moments and engage even more, because it's really quite special for all of us who connect. And I think this ultimately is what life is about, isn't it? To be able to connect at this deep level, much deeper than where we do sometimes. And there's so much going on in the world that we need to kind of open our hearts a little bit more and heal in that way. And I'm learning so much from this experience.
And it's such a great moment, too, I think, to remind everybody about, you know, we're lucky. We have Patrick, right? So we have it gives us more visibility as a resource center. But there are other centers around Maine that are doing really great work, and they have the same kind of people that we do, that just are really passionate about what they do and want to help people. So it's important, if you live in other areas of the state, please look. You know, we're not quite formal enough yet in terms of an association of Maine Cancer Support Centers to have a website, but that's our goal, so that people can go on and see if there's somebody located near them. But call us up. We'll help connect you to somebody else within the state that can also provide that kind of care.
We're almost out of time, but I want to squeeze in this question from Sue. Patrick seems to have found a balance between pursuing his dreams and remembering his roots, especially the importance of community involvement and giving back so others can benefit. What would you tell a graduating senior or even your own children as they embark on a new adventure in life's journey? Like many others, our family has been involved with the Dempsey Center. Thank you.
I got great advice from the theater at Monmouth when I was there as an apprentice. And one of the actors said, don't forget where you come from. And I think that's important to remember, especially for the young students and things like that. And I think I get a lot of inspiration from Stephen King and the work that he does and giving back to this state and the things that he. And I think that's important for the young people in the state to get out, travel, see the world, learn, and then come back with that knowledge and give back to the community. You can make a big difference in your own backyard. That's the thing to remember. And it's just one step. One positive action will beget another one.
And you have teenagers, right?
I do.
Did they listen when you give them this sage advice?
Of course they don't. I try to send a quote every day. Like, I keep some stuff on, of sayings and things that I send to my daughter before she goes to school. She's driving to school by herself. And she always rolls her eyes or gives me a comment. But hopefully it will sink in and it becomes something that she'll appreciate in time.
All right. Well, thank you so much. What a wonderful hour on Maine Calling. Thank you so much. Patrick Dempsey, an actor and producer and founder of the Dempsey Center. I don't even need to say that. Wendy Tardif, executive director of the Dempsey Center. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandreau. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Have a great weekend.